Well, good morning and welcome home. Y'all glad to be together? Well, I'll tell you flat out, this is going to be the last my voice can take today, but I'm going to give it all for you. I'm going to leave some because when I get home and the girls get home, there's going to be some snuggles and hugs and things, and, you know, I'll leave a little bit. But we're going to have a great time together because this is not just me. You come up here, look at this guy with the teenager t-shirt, and you think, oh, I got to listen to this joker again. No, you get more. So what we are going to do, as you can tell, yes, the youth group has just gotten back from an amazing fall retreat, and we are going to tell you a little bit about it. So to get us kicked off, I've got two students going to come up, and they're going to share some of their experiences or what they're going to share what God has impacted them with this week. So come on up, boys. Let's get this thing started. Y'all give them a hand, encouragement. Yeah. All right. So, yes, we got Mr. Avery. We got Mr. Reed. So, boys, you're going to just take it away.
How y'all doing this morning? That's good. So I want to share something from Saturday's quiet time. It really stood out to me. It was John 6, 25 through 35, and one of the verses that stood out was, do not work for food that spoils, but work for food that endures to eternal life. And what that really stood out to me was, don't work for something that's going to last you about 5 seconds. You got to work and trust the process of everything that's going to go on. You got to trust in God. You can't do anything and just not try. You can't trust. Wait, hold on. I messed that up real quick. Okay. You got to do everything to be able to trust in God. You can't just work hard for something that won't last you long term. Cody's living in an RV trying to raise his kids, but at the same time, he's worshiping God. It's not an excuse to just not worship God, you know. You won't thirst if you trust in God, and you won't be hungry if you trust in God. The Lord is always there for you, and no matter what situation, negative impact life has on you, he's always there for you. And that's why you always got to trust in him.
Hey guys, my name is Reed Court, if you don't know me, but I think most of you do. So this weekend, our theme was worship, and we talked about how worship is focus and how worship is responding. And so these are just a few of the key takeaways I got from our sessions. All right, I put, your worship should be directed towards praising God and furthering his kingdom, because if you focus on that, we will complete our goal. We kind of need a revival in today's current times, and we really need to put that effort into making that happen. Worship is a discipline to be practiced. You need to be able to go out of your way to worship and respond to people with worship in a way that glorifies God. When things go your way, give God that glory and worship. When things don't go your way, trust that they are going God's way. Amen. Worship is more than just singing. Worship can be opening the door for someone, carrying someone's suitcase, or even simply saying hi to someone as long as you're focused on God. I really appreciated what this week taught me through Cody and my classmates or students, whatever you want to call them, my friends. There we go. All right. And I just really appreciate for what this church has done for me. Thank you, guys.
Well, he about preached my whole sermon. Oh, even just getting a chance to talk with these two boys, one came up and volunteered and one started sharing with me what they were impacted by, and I was like, well, Lord, you just already picked them, didn't you? So I'm just humbled by this group. I'm humbled by what we've seen this week. So, yes, let us chat. Our theme this whole weekend was about worship. What is it? You know, we probably say the term a lot, and sadly, most often, we just associate worship with music. It's worship music, right? When you sing, you worship. But is that where worship is confined? Is worship only singing? Of course not. But how else do we worship? if not just to sing. So that's what we were impacted by this weekend. And so what I want to do today, church, is I want you to worship with us. And so what we're going to do in order to start today, I've got 2 points, and two points, and we'll have some other stuff in between. But my 2 points are this. Worship is focusing on and responding to God. Focusing on and responding to God. So to give us a little illustration about this form of worship, I've got two ladies have taken up a challenge. They have memorized our text for today. And they're going to share it with you. And as they share it with you, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, but not yet, because they want to talk for a second. But they're going to help me out with an illustration. So ladies, come on up. Y'all give them an encouraging hand. Come on. And you said you wanted to chat for a second.
Yes.
Sorry. Okay, so we were not planning to do this, and we did not know about this until last night, and because there was a verse that was missing at the top of our bulletin thing that we had, and we went up to Cody and we were like, well, what's the verse? And he was like, well, I'm gonna tell you something, why don't you just memorize it real quick and then you can just say it in front of the church tomorrow, the whole psalm. And we were like, okay. So we were up till 1:15 this morning trying to memorize this. So, and it's Psalms 97.
Hold on. So what I would like for you all to do is that while they are reciting this psalm, not reading it, reciting it, I would like the congregation to close your eyes. And that as you are hearing the holy, amazing, beautiful words of God, paint pictures in your head. Don't just allow the words to go into one ear and escape out of the other, but allow them to steep inside your mind. Look at the pictures. Allow each word to paint a new one. Let's experience the Word of God together.
The Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. And righteousness and justice. What? Fire goes before him and fire goes before him and fire goes before him and burns up his enemies on every side. His lightning lights up the world, the earth sees and trembles. The mountain melts like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness and all the people see his glory.
All who worship images shall be put to shame. Those who boast in idols, worship him, all you gods. Zion hears and rejoices, and the villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments, Lord. For you, Lord, are the most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. Let those who love the Lord hate all evil. For he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light shines on the righteous, and joy on the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, all who are righteous and praise his holy name.
Yes. Amen. Good job. Oh, there is just something about reciting the Word of God, isn't there? You know, the Word of God recited, committed to memory, truly is the Word of God hidden within your heart, the Word of God that cannot be taken by anything of this world. They may take our books, they may take our copies, but when God's Word is memorized, hidden within our minds and our hearts, it cannot be taken away. Oh, so let's jump in on this. This weekend, we defined worship as this, assigning the proper worth to God. This is where we get our word worship from, the word worth, his worthiness. So assigning the right worth to God to magnify his worthiness of praise, or better, to approach and address God as he is worthy. In other words, worship is focusing on and responding to God. See, let's talk about assigning the right worth to God. You know, we are just a society of shoppers, are we not? We love shopping. We got Amazon, we got Target. Everything's got its own app these days. Holidays are coming up. Prices, prices, prices. You know, we know proper worth of stuff. We had one of the biggest group arguments I think I've ever experienced so far about the PS5, the PlayStation 5, and its true worth. Because the picture that I got was maybe from 2 years ago, and it was not four, it was two. And its price at that point was one thing, but apparently its worth has significantly dropped since then. So to me, what it was worth one thing, to this generation, it is now worth something much, much lower. And so a different kind of worth was assigned to it. So ask yourselves for a moment, what type of worth have you assigned to God? And how is that demonstrated in your life? Particularly in how you approach him appropriate to his worth. Because how worthy something is, or how the type of value that something has, is connected to how we approach that thing. For instance, we gave an illustration where I showed some pictures on the board, and I was asking the students, how would you approach this, or how would you respond to this? The first thing that I popped up was a scary grizzly bear. You know, so they saw the scary grizzly bear, and some knucklehead over here said that they wanted to go up, pet it, and snuggle it. I'm like, okay, lunch. But obviously, our demeanor towards this grizzly bear is going to be quite different. I think the park rangers told us to get into the fetal position and pray. But then I showed the picture of, I think one of the funniest ones, was a group of Girl Scouts like at Walmart. I can't do that because they're the cuteness and they got the cookies and it's like, I have to buy some. Some of y'all might be a lot better at just not making eye contact and passing by. But whenever we pass Girl Scouts, my response is different than my wife's. So she has to get on the Girl Scout side, and I have to get on the other side, and I just have to walk because I will buy the cookies. I can't eat the cookies, but they're just too cute. They know how, I tell you, that's a salesman gimmick right there. They know how to sell. So approaching God appropriate to his worth depends on the worth that we assign to him. So let me ask you, church, what type of worth? What worth have you assigned to God? Is he valuable in your life? Does that show in how you live? The disciplines that you practice? Your own devotion reading? Because the worth we assign to him is connected to how we then approach him. And God is worthy of all of our praise. He is not to be one approached lightly. For God is a loving and caring God, but he is also a fierce God. You can even see this in the first parts of Psalm 97. The Lord reigns. He does not occupy. He reigns. Let the whole world rejoice. Let the coastlands be glad. Look at this. Fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries. Yes, he is a loving God, but he is not one to be approached lightly, for he is also fierce and mighty. What type of worth do we assign to God? And do we approach him appropriate to that worth? So as we said, worship is focusing on God. Worship is the God-centered focus and response of the soul. It is being preoccupied with God. Therefore, we are not truly worshiping if we are not focusing or thinking about God. For example, when I had the ladies come up and recite that, how did you do? Did you stay focused? Were you painting the word pictures in your head? Or were you probably like all of us over here who are sleep deprived? Were you having a hard time keeping focused? Maybe your to-do list popped in your head and you dwelt on that for a moment. Maybe you saw something funny in the newspaper earlier or on TikTok, and so you started thinking about that. It's really hard to keep our mind set on one thing, is it not? And we're going to talk about that in a second. So even when we're singing our songs, you know, there were some amazing songs up here that we could have just focused on the words and painted beautiful pictures in our head about God's glory, his righteousness, living he loved me, dying he saved me. One day he carried our, I messed up those lyrics. Y'all, I'm tired. Willingly he carried my sins far away. What a beautiful song. What beautiful images about God we could think and focus on in our mind. So therefore, worship is focusing, God-centered focus on God. But how do we, what are we supposed to focus on? We focus on him by how we see him, how God has revealed himself. Because we can't just say, well, I imagine God as a sturdy chair. I'm sorry, nowhere in Scripture is God ever compared to a sturdy chair. But how does Scripture reveal God? For this is very important, for the Word of God is God's own Word. For Scripture itself says that the Word of God is breathed out by God. Men, writing as inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. So therefore, we worship God according to the Word of God. Now, we also see God working in creation. For there are things that we know about God from his creation. We know that God is beautiful and magnificent because he created such beautiful sunrises and sunsets, ocean scenes. This weekend, we had an amazing privilege that we saw snow. Maybe sleet. But when you've been in South Georgia for 2 years, it's a blizzard. And it was beautiful. What a way to end our evening when we got to go out with this floodlight and we saw the snow. I think it was one of our teenagers came running in. It's snowing! It's snowing! And you think like, oh, we're all too cool. Every single one of them. Ah! So excited to see snow. Oh, and it was beautiful. Think about what that says about the Creator who made it. God's in the Scriptures, they say that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You think about individuals and how much detail, care, precision went into our making. And the Word of God tells us that he was present there in the making, carefully weaving us and molding us together. Oh, God reveals himself so splendidly. Not only through his word, not only through his creation, but he has also revealed himself through his son. We have some amazing gospel messages, gospels about Jesus and his life and his teachings, what he did, how he loved people, how he served people, how he cared for people. We know God through his word, his creation, his son. This is what he has given us so that we can know him. These are the things that we can utilize to focus on him. So now, as we have talked about focusing God on God, let us talk about now responding to God. Because yes, we focus on the truth of God, but focusing on the truth alone is not enough if it does not follow through with action. It's not enough to just think God is awesome and live your life as if God is a box of cereal. That's not good enough. For if we truly want to worship God, then we do need to preoccupy our mind with God, but then we need to carry out our actions and words for the glory of God. Amen? Y'all get woke up now. I know there's heaters going. I don't have any nodding off yet. So worship is responding to God. We see that in the latter half of this psalm. For verse 6 says that the heavens proclaim his righteousness. Proclaiming, it's active. All the people see his glory, and and all these people who are worship images are put to shame. They make their boasts in worthless idols. And so the psalmist says, worship him, all you gods, not these worthless things. Because even Zion hears and is glad. The daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O God. For you, O Lord, are most high over all the earth. And you are exalted far above other gods. Let me ask you, church, are you exalting our God above all other gods? Do you see his glory? Are you glad? Do you rejoice at the knowledge of God, being in relationship with Jesus, filled with the very power of God? So yes, worship is responding to God. How we know someone affects how we respond to them. We played a really fun game this weekend called What Would Chris and Charlie Do? You know, for about a month and a half, I've gotten to know Chris and Charlie. We've had times where we've met every week. And it's been amazing. I'm loving these two men and their heart. So in getting to know them, I have learned some things about them. And so we put together some pictures, some like scenarios, and the students had to determine what Chris and Charlie would do if given or put in a situation where they are around this type of thing. And it was really funny because, you know, Chris and Charlie, they're goofy, and so they were writing some other kind of stuff. And some of the students got it right, even in the goofiness, because of how well they knew them, the time they spent with them. Do you think you know God just as well? In the amount of time that you have spent with him, do you know the things that make him angry? Do you know the things that please him? Do you know the things that he is most honored by? When we worship God, when we focus on God and respond to God, are we responding to God in a way that is most comfortable to us or in the way that is most honoring to him? Because our measure of worship may not compare with what he requires and what he deserves. So yes, we're focusing on God, knowing God truly, and we know him so much more so that we can respond to him more appropriate to his true worth. So worship is expected, public and personally. For we respond to God privately, and we respond to God corporately. So let's talk about this for a second. Let's talk about together, corporate worship, corporate response. Hebrews 10:24-25 says this, "Let us consider how to stir up one another in love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near." When we meet together, we stir up one another to love. We encourage one another to obedience. We are there for one another in times of hurt, in times of bad health, in times of affliction, in times of joy, in times of sorrow. The church is here together to be the arms and feet of God, to love one another, to shine the light together. Because if you put enough lights together in one room, you got a brighter light, do you not? And the scriptures do expect us, they teach us to worship together, to meet together, to focus together, and to respond together. There is no lone wolf Christianity. There is the church. And the church is described as various groups and forms. We are described as a flock in Acts 20:28. We're described as a body in 1 Corinthians 12:12. We're described as a structure, a building in Ephesians 2:21. And we're described as a household in Ephesians 2:19. Groups. We are stronger together. We are more encouraged together. Just think about the resources in this room alone, the amount of things that we are capable of doing able to do for one another and able to do for our community when we utilize our talents and skills for the glory of God to love his people. So yes, worship is focusing on God and responding as one corporate body. So where can you fit in? You know, we got plenty of places for you to jump in and serve along with your fellow church members. Plenty of opportunities for you to come along and utilize your talents and skills for the glory of God to love his people. So take advantage of it, church. Jump in. Because I tell you, I've been here a month and a half. I'm loving y'all every single day. Every new day, it's like you give me some new reason to love y'all. Because this weekend, I told the students this weekend, I didn't cook a single meal. It was cooked for us. When it came to doing all the administrative paperwork, there was very little I did because I had someone amazing helping me do it. When it came to teaching in the small groups, I didn't teach a small group because I had some amazing people willing to do it for me. You might not be a preacher, you might not be a singer, but God has given you a gift and he is expecting you to use it for his glory. And he has given you the opportunity to use it with his church. So come, be a part, serve. But not only is worship expected together, it is also expected alone. In private, our own personal worship time. You know, Luke observed in Luke 5:16 that Jesus would often withdraw to a desolate place and pray. In fact, we see in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before he goes to crucifixion, Jesus gathered his disciples after the Last Supper. And he goes to the garden. He comes up to a spot and he tells nine of them to stay here. He takes three a little further into the garden. He goes to another spot, tells the three to stay here to watch and pray. And then he himself goes off a little ways further by himself and he prays in complete vulnerability, pouring out his heart to God. Even Jesus knew he had to have alone time with his Father. So church, how is your alone time? You know, no matter how fulfilling or sufficient our public or regular worship celebration seems, there are experiences with God that he gives only in our private worship. If that statement is true, and your worship of God, your focus on God is confined to just the time you meet with God's people, you could only be getting a portion of the experience of a relationship with God. You could be missing out on something incredible simply for lack of discipline. So my encouragement for you today, church, is to have a personal, private, quiet time, a time set aside for you and you alone. We observed that even reading through some of these psalms, that most often that David was writing these and pouring out his own heart. He may have been alone, he may have been with people, but when David was writing these, he was the author, pouring out his heart to God. How much he loved God, how much he needed God. This was the expression of his private worship of God. So what is yours? What's your quiet time like? What's your personal time with God like? Is it few and far between? Is it every day? Is there something? Because church, I tell you, it's like oxygen. You need it. It's like food. You're going to love it. Oh, I promise you, you'll love it. Even in the time we had together, they had their own quiet time. Hopefully, it was impactful for all of them. But we did hear it was especially impactful for one. How's yours? See, worship is not just something you fall into. Focusing on God and responding to him does take practice. It is a discipline to be practiced. Even like right here when the girls came up and were reciting the verse, it was hard, wasn't it? It was hard to keep your mind focused on that one thing. It does take work. It does take discipline. See, without discipline, our worship of God will be thin and inconsistent. Without some type of plan or strategy. Worship is a spiritual discipline insofar as it is both a goal and a process. It's a goal because to worship, as we defined it, is to focus on and respond to God, right? And it is a process in the sense that it is a means to godliness. The more we focus on God and the more we respond to God regularly, the more godly we become. Because truly, you become, the worship of God makes believers more godly because people become like their focus. If we are very focused and concerned about sports, it's probably going to confine a lot of our conversations and apparel, will it not? We do become a lot like our focus. There's nothing wrong with sports. I'm not saying that. But what has your attention? The majority of it. See, you have to make yourself be consumed with God. It's not something that's just going to magically happen. It is a discipline. Much like many of you who are married, you have a spouse. You can't talk to her one or two times a week. You better not. Sometimes you may not be in the mood for a conversation, or you may be tired and you just don't want to talk, but then again, maybe your spouse needs it. Do you put their needs aside for your own? Or do you work on the relationship? Do you talk? Do you share? Are you vulnerable? See, God gave marriage as a beautiful example as the union between us and Christ, that we have this vulnerability with Him, that we have this intimacy with Him, that we have this closeness with Him. And this truly does come in those quiet times together. So my encouragement to the teenagers, as is my encouragement to you, focus on God. Respond to Him. Whether through music, whether through listening to the sermon, whether through your own quiet time, maybe through poetry, maybe through drawing, painting, maybe through loving your neighbor. Worship God. Focus on who He is and who He has revealed Himself to be. And respond appropriate to His worth. For He is worthy, is He not, church? He is amazing. He deserves all of our praise. He is beautiful. He is mighty. He is gentle. He is just. Oh, what an awesome God we serve.